Good morning. Good morning. Well, it was good to have Easter brunch last week, and this week we'll dive back into our study. Let me pray for us as we begin. Father, thank you for the work of your Son. There's no other way by which we might come to know you than through your Son, the way, the truth, and the life. And he does the work to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom, your beloved Son. Your Spirit is working alongside both of you, and then you are progressively changing us, transforming us, restoring our nature. Grace restores what was broken. And so may you be at work to restore womanhood in our sisters and to help us as brothers who are walking alongside them this morning as we continue our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about the fifth commandment, honoring authorities, what comes with that. And of course, is the question of authority in marriage. And so we addressed that topic, and now we're thinking about the role of husbands and the role of wives. So we talked about husbands, we're talking about wives. We'll do some review this morning because it was 2 weeks ago that we started this. Not everyone is here, it's been 2 weeks. But what were the roles of husbands? Does anybody remember those roles that we looked at? What were the things we saw, the biblical principles of what a husband is responsible for? Protect, provide. Yep. Love and lead. Yes, those four things. Let me begin to think about women and their role in marriage, a wife's role. Again, I'll read the definitions that we're working with here. So this is biblical masculinity is displayed in a sense of benevolent responsibility to work God's creation, provide for and protect others, and express loving, sacrificial leadership in ways appropriate it to his differing relationships. That's men. What about women? Biblical femininity is displayed in a gracious disposition to cultivate life, to help others flourish, and to submit to, respect, and nurture strong leadership from worthy men in ways appropriate to her differing relationships. So we talked then about how wives have a role of helping. They are to help their husbands. They should be a helpmate. In Genesis 2, then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Both the word helper and the phrase fit for him, this idea, you can think of a puzzle piece. You know, if you have two puzzle pieces that are identical, they don't fit together. But when you have a helpmate who complements you, you fit together. What I love, and I think what I want to say, is that Scripture gives us these principles, but it doesn't give us, say, the specifics of how that principle works itself out, which is both good and hard, because we spend our whole lives, especially in a fallen, broken world, trying to learn how to live out these principles. But the principle of being a helpmate is going to look different at different times and seasons of a marriage. It's going to look different for different couples, depending upon their particular situation and what they're experiencing. So helpmate, yes, helpmate, but let's say more. I think that works itself out in the other principles that we'll see. So the second one is that a wife should work. She's a companion, she's a helpmate to her husband to co-labor alongside him in the work of taking dominion, stewarding the garden that they've been given, and being fruitful and multiplying. So this is where we spent the bulk of our time 2 weeks ago, thinking about work. What things do you remember? For those of you who are here with us, what things do you remember from our discussion of work? Yeah. It would be helpful is to say the priority of the wife's work is the home. That should be the central target that she's aiming at. Her home is her priority. That's where she focuses most of her energy. Now, we're not saying that a woman can't leave the home and go out and work. Now, we see that in Proverbs 31. 31? 31? But, okay, I don't know why I was thinking Proverbs 30, but Proverbs 31, right? She is making clothing of some sort and finds that this might be a profitable business. She's so good at it that she begins to go out of the home to make this clothing and sell it. But the why would a wife move outside of her home and do work out there? It's to bless her family. We see that in the way that Proverbs talks about this godly woman. Why would she do work outside of the home? It's to bless her husband, to bless her children. Paul, when he talks to Titus and Timothy, talks about the older women training the younger women to be workers at home. She's the keeper at home. Or when you look at widows and the expectations for those who could be cared for by the church, they need to have shown that they managed their households. And all of you know all that goes into managing a home. There's a lot that goes into that. Even if you were to delegate aspects of the household, there's still a lot that goes into that. And so can a woman work two 40-hour jobs, if you will? That's really challenging. It's really hard to ask women to work a full-time job out in the world and then be at home. I think, Patrick, you're saying this idea of supermom. I remember that coming up, right? Can mom be supermom and do everything? No, it's really hard. So we also talked about the idea of the home and the work that can be done there. It's not simple. It's not dull. There are a lot of repetitive things that happen, right? Laundry and dishes and cooking and taking care of kids and cleaning up stuff. But we need to have a richer, fuller, bigger, cathedral-sized view of what work in the household can look like. You guys remember talking about that? There's so much opportunity to gain skill, to grow in excellence, to pursue and explore, to delight in God's design and opportunity to take dominion in the home. So I think I gave the example of, you can get some food, you can put it in the microwave, you can make it quickly, you know, press play, a minute later you've got a meal for the family. And there are times where that may be helpful in what you got to do to get to the dinner table. But contrast that over against taking natural resources from God's world as close to the earth as possible, taking those things, taking the, Jenny does this, she just started making bread, so I don't even know, you take the flour and the wheat and you mix the yeast in and you're kneading it, you know, maybe you've got a machine that helps you to do that more quickly, and then you're putting in other ingredients into that and then it's sitting for hours, it's fermenting, you know, the enzymes are going to work to draw out the natural nutrition that's in that food. And then you bake this bread and the house smells wonderful. It's very different. There's a time and place for this, right? For throwing the stuff in the microwave or a simple meal. But what does it look like to grow up into learning how to cook such meals? And that's just one thing. That's just bread. There's so many cuisines. There's so many ways to make food. There's so many ways to process meat and vegetables, to can stuff, to ferment things, the mixtures of spices and flavors all together, right? It's cathedral, big ceiling. There's so much that you could learn about cooking meals. And that's just one area. Spread that out to all the other areas. There's work. There's good work to be done. I think that's exciting. So, I mean, last week we talked about this idea that, and to borrow from Rosario Butterfield, the gospel comes with the house key. Right? When Paul's talking to older women about how older women are to train up younger women, he says this. Here's the reason why. That the word of God may not be reviled. The work that a wife has to do in the home is just as important in communicating the gospel by putting it on display, by modeling what that gospel produces, as it is the preaching and proclaiming. They go hand in hand together. So, any other thoughts about work or questions you have before we move on to the next principle?
Whatever, and so I had talked to his teacher, who I had more contact with, his school teacher, so I was using her room, and she said, you will have a hard time connecting with them because they believe that the school needs to raise their kids. They're really hands off. And so I think when we think about working in the home, it's not, oh, let me do something that's fulfilling for me and let other people take care of my kids. And, you know, so I think there's a way to work with home as your priority, and there's a way to work as an excuse to avoid a responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to think through, like, what's the why or what's the motivation for it, you know?
If you're going to work outside.
Right. Yeah. Or even, like, just, like, for me, like, with teaching, and they might not remember this, but there were times where I would run it by the kids. I'm like, I'm thinking of working. As they got older, you know, I'm thinking of working. Is that going to be hard if you have, like, questions for school or whatever? Is it okay if I teach at a time? So, like, running and processing those things, and the kids are like, no, Mom, it's fine. They bring their siblings, and we can play with them, you know? And so it ended up being more of a, this was fun, you know, for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still think that. But that was part of how I included them in the decision as well.
Yeah. And one of the things we've lost because of industrialization, for centuries, work was in the home. Where you lived is where you worked. And so, you know, let's say the husband, most people were farming, majority of the population was. The wife was intricately involved in the work. And now industrialization happens. Men go outside of the home to start working. Eventually that starts to pull women outside of the home to stop working. And now nobody's at home. That's not where work happens. And so I think for us to think about, how can we maybe prepare, you know, maybe it's something you're interested in, maybe it's younger women who are coming up. How do we prepare them to do work that they could do outside of the home? You know, they can work in their home, from their home, teaching piano, cutting hair. There's lots of opportunities, especially now with the internet. So, a wife is a helpmate. She also works. Third, she fills. We might say she nurtures life. The wife helps her husband to be fruitful and filling the earth with life. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Pretty quickly, Adam figured out, there is no way to fill this earth by myself. These animals have parts. Those parts work together. I don't have a complementary part to work with me to procreate and fill the earth with other image bearers. And this is what's amazing, is that God designed women for motherhood. He designed women to bear babies. I mean, this is just remarkable. You have a monthly cycle. The reality of your ability, your built-in design to produce a baby, is this monthly cycle, this monthly reminder. It's built around fertility. And you didn't have to go to school and get a degree to learn how to knit together a baby in a womb, if you're a woman. Like, the code is just there in your DNA. And God gave you a womb to design this little baby and knit it together. And then the ability to nurse that child, to create the food that is the healthiest nutrition for a young infant. I mean, the guy, you know more as a medical doctor. I'm sure maybe some of you know other things about just the way God has designed women. God has designed you. It's amazing how he has made women to be mothers, to fill and to nurture life. Is this filling, this nurturing of life, is this where our current culture rebels the most against God and his design? Talk about that question at your table. Couple more thoughts before we wrap up today. So women are to fill. A wife is to fill, to nurture life. We talked about her design, how God has made her. To be fruitful requires dying to self. A woman who is a wife and a mother should expect to be tired. That is actually the sign that you have done your job, when you are tired at the end of the day. You're ready to go to bed. That's good feedback. God desires godly offspring. And there's a lot that has to go into that. Pouring out ourselves, training, nurturing, admonishing, teaching, instructing, correcting. It's done by faith. It's not something that we can just manually manipulate and produce. There's one other thing I want to talk about here. It's this idea that a mother, a wife, will grow in showing affection and warmth. She will be husband lovers, children lovers. And Paul says this to the older women, train the younger women to love their husbands and children. And Paul's taking two words and putting them together. And he's putting a husband lover, children lover. And it's this idea of affection, of warmth. Paul gives us this imagery over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own child, drawing that child close, being gentle, speaking softly, maybe singing songs, caring for this little one, you know, the mother's eyes staring into the child's eyes, the child looking back. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. And this is something that is not as dispositionally natural to us men. We tend to be a little more rough-edged, harder. Paul's saying he was acting like there was something feminine that he was able to do in his care for these other Christians. It's not something that only women can do, but he learned it from watching mothers. This idea that women are naturally affectionate with their children and warm and just want to display that and grow in that. So think about this. What is hard about being affectionate? What's easy about being affectionate with your husband and your kids? And what would older sisters have to teach younger women in this way? What needs to be taught? Does that make sense? Like, something has to be taught, instructed. Wives will need help with this. So what is that? Talk about that, and that'll wrap up our time this morning.